To take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs. Now, brother, you want to write down the name of my message? The name of my message tonight is How to Talk to Yourself. A fellow said one time to me when I preached that message, how do you talk to yourself? It's preach is okay as long as you talk to yourself. Don't answer yourself. I'm going to put that on there. You got to learn how to answer yourself, too. You got how do you talk to yourself, and then also how do you answer yourself. So I want you to go through your Bible. Now turn to the book of Proverbs. I want you to go through your Bible, and I want you to find Proverbs chapter 23. I want you to find all the places where it said, a man said in his heart. A man said in his heart. Now I can't give them to you tonight. There's no way in the world I can do that. But you can find them. A man said, and he said in his heart, or she said in his heart. You know what that is? That's talking to yourself. That's talking to yourself. Now, it's important what you say to other people. Amen? What I say to a person is very, very important. I pay very good attention to what I said. We got a chance to witness to a guy. His name is Dennis today. And he said, I got a wonderful chance. I just was excited witnessing to him. I was paying very close attention to what I was saying. He got a little mad at me, but that's the way it goes. You know what happens. When you tell a man he's going to hell, they're going to get mad. Say amen. There's no way you can get out of it. You can't get out of it. But we're coming about the man's soul. His name's Dennis. Pray that Dennis. Are you praying that Dennis will get saved? Oh, how many of you are praying that Dennis will get saved? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. You've been already praying about it. We got a chance to witness to him today, boy. He's mad. That's how you get mad before you can get glad. They say, amen. You got to get mad at a situation because if somebody's told you a lie, you kind of get mad at it when you hear the truth. That's the way it goes. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. Amen. You know the right verse. See, it makes you a little ticked. But that's not what I want to preach on. Here's what I want to preach on. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7. For as he thinketh in his what? Heart. So it's what you think right down here that counts. And when you talk to yourself down here, you got to learn to answer yourself. So you got to pay attention to what you say to yourself. So is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So what a man says in his heart, that is going to be the determining factor in life. All right, the Bible says, of course you know, for with the heart man does what? Believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. All right, now I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to point number one. I want you to write it down, point number one, some things not to say to yourself. I talk to myself. I go around the house. I get up, and I'm walking around the house somewhere, and I'm going, no, 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 no. My wife says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just talking to myself. And she says, yeah, you're always talking to yourself. And it's what you say to yourself that counts. You got to say the right thing. You got to watch what you say to yourself. Got to watch it, what you say. And you got to answer yourself just right. He said, preacher, you're a little... Well, okay, I'm a little nutty, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. Say amen. And so you got to say the right word to yourself to get you through. All right, now, number one, write it down. Don't say, poor me. Poor me. Now, you got to answer yourself. Got to answer yourself real quick if you happen to say, now we have a tendency to do that, you know. Poor me, answer yourself. Nathan, that's self-pity. Right on the money. That's self-pity. Answer yourself real quick. Don't say, poor me. Well, I want to tell you, it's like this. My sister, coming up, I had one sister. I got Kenneth, he's my older brother, and Gary, he's a little bit older than I am. Glenn, he's a little bit younger than I am. And then my sister, she's a little older than I am. And my sister, she forever was going around the house saying, I hate my nose. Oh, poor Bill, I hate my nose. I got daddy's nose instead of mother's nose. I hate it. She had a great big nose. And didn't bother me. I thought her nose was okay. There's nothing wrong, Geraldine. There's nothing wrong with your nose. But she'd say it time after time. My mother would say, Geraldine, don't say that about your nose. And she said, I hate it. It's too big. You know, girls are kind of vain, you know. They look in the mirror and they like themselves to look pretty. Say, ladies, say amen. They like to look in the mirror and like to look pretty, and a big nose didn't like it. Forever she was doing that. Then she grew up. She became a lady, a woman. And she got older. She got cancer. She got cancer of the nose. And they took her nose off from right here underneath your eyes, down here like this, and across underneath this lip like this, and right up here like this, right across there. Took a hole in the, she had a hole in her nose that was that big. Bandage over it. She put the bandage on. Several weeks went by. And then one day they called her in and said, Mrs. Ecker, we're going to take off the bandage off your nose, and we're going to let you look in the mirror. But we are all ready for this because we've been prepared for it, and we've got doctors and people to help you through this. So she took off the bandage, and she screamed, and she just about lost her mind. Had they not been there with her, she said, I would have lost my mind, Nathan. I would have went plumb out of my mind. Don't you say poor me. Because God has been good to you. Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Then you're going to go to heaven. Don't you say poor me. You immediately answer, self-pity, that's self-pity. Get off the self-pity kick. You get on a self-pity kick, and you know what it'll get you? It'll cause you, poor me, or cause a divorce. You listening to me? Poor me will get you fired. Poor me will get you in trouble. Don't say, poor me. Say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. You've been wonderful and good to me, and thank you, I'm still alive, and I'm not out there in a hole headed for hell like a bullet. Say amen. Amen. All right, now take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27, look what it says in verse 1. Here's a fellow that said, poor me, in 1 Samuel. Now, I want you to notice who it was that said for me, 1 Samuel chapter 27, and I want you to note this man, and that he actually was a great man. He was actually a mighty man. He was actually one of the men in the Bible called the great psalmist, wrote the great psalm, Psalm chapter 23, and a whole bunch more. Say amen. And David... Is he a great man? Is he going to come back in the millennium and reign, or with Jesus Christ on earth and run the nation of Israel? Sure is. David is the great of the greats. Now watch him say, poor me. And he said, now underline it, in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of where? The Philistines. Now David's been running from Saul and running from Saul and running from Saul and running from Saul and running from Saul. One day he was on this side of the mountain, and Saul was on this side of the mountain. Saul tried to kill him. And he's chasing him for his life and trying to kill him. Say amen. And he's running from the king, trying to get away and run. So he says, poor me. And look what happened. He gave up the battle. Now you look at me, when you say poor me, you'll give up in the battle and you'll quit fighting. And you'll throw in the towel, you'll quit fighting. You won't be a soldier anymore. You're a soldier for Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't you say, poor me. And when you do, you'll do like King David. You know what David did? David said, well, I'm going to get caught one of these days. He's going to kill me. I might as well leave the land of Israel, and I might as well go over to the Philistines. The Philistines are the enemies of Israel. He gave up the battle. He should have kept right on. See, you kind of get self-pity thing. You get out of the battle. You're in a battle. You're in a battle with the devil. You're in a battle with the flesh. You're in a battle with the world. You're a soldier, a mighty soldier. And you've got some enemies. Fight a good fight. David gives up because he said to himself, poor me. Don't say that. Don't talk to yourself that way. Answer yourself right away. No, I'm not. I'm blessed of God. Glory, hallelujah. I'm one of the child of the king. And I'm going to glory when I die. I had a guy give a testimony. He was a retarded boy. And he was given a testimony. And you know what he said? God never says whoops. And then he went like this. Boy, you talk about conviction, man. You talk about conviction. That guy killed me. He said, God never says whoops. He goes like this. Man alive. And I go, poor me. Okay, Lord, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Okay, Lord, you've been so good to me. Oh, God, I got it, Lord, I got it. You see, don't you say poor me. You look around at some folks, and boy, I'll tell you, you're better off than they are. You're in pretty good shape, man. You got two eyes. How many got two eyes? How many got two hands? How many got two feet? How many got a car to drive? How many you got a boat to go fishing in? How many you got a gun? How many got a wonderful wife? How many you got a wonderful husband? You raise your hand. Come on. Put it up. You too. Say amen. You say, why? God's been good to you. Amen. You know what you need to do? You need to go over there with somebody and go into a hospital somewhere and see somebody that's in really bad shape. Or put yourself in the shoes of these folks that had the accident. Put yourself in the shoes of these people who had the accident today. You say, what? Don't you say, poor me. You got it? Don't say that to yourself. Number two. Don't you say, write it down, I'll get you. Now, listen to me. Don't you say, I'll get you. You've got to answer yourself real quick. Nathan, that's revenge. You got it? You better write it down. You better take it to heart. Because many, many, many a person said, all right, you did that to me. I'm going to do something to you. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis. Turn to Genesis chapter 25. I want to show you something about that thing where he says to himself, I'll get you. Don't you say that. Turn to Genesis chapter 25 and look at verse 22. Now let's get it. Genesis 25, and look it up in your Bible now. Genesis 25, and let's pick up verse 22. Now this is the mother, Rebekah. And she's about to have two children, twins. She's about to have twins. Y'all with me? Say amen. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? So the children are struggling together with them. On this side is Jacob. On this side is Esau. And Esau's going, and Jacob's going, And inside it going, y'all with me? Esau says, I'll get you, bud. Are you with me? Esau's in the womb. Then he says, I'll get you. And he never gets over it. It lasted him through the birth. Oh, I'm going to show you this verse. Let's read a little bit further. And it says, and she said, if so, why am I thus? And she went inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Now, are two nations in there? Man, that would be a big womb. There are not two nations in there, is there? That's God's foreign eyes. He's looking forward. And he sees those two men that they've become two nations. That's God's foreknowledge. Say amen. But he sees there and says, well, there's two nations. That's God's foreknowledge. And God's saying, I know them two boys. I know them. And I've seen from beginning to end. He said, Jacob have I loved in Malachi. And Esau have I hated. God hated one man and loved the other. Why? He knew him. He knew him from beginning to end. And I'm going to tell you the story. Now, you're going to have to study the story, but I'm going to tell you the story without studying it. You're just going to have to find out on your own. What happens? No, I will give you a little bit right here. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in the womb, and two manners of people shall separate it from the bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were delivered to be fulfilled, behold, they were twins in the womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came out his brother out. Now watch it. And his hand took hold of Esau's what? Heel. So there he is, he grabs his heel. What for? So he won't get kicked. Esau saying, I'll get you, bud. And Jacob says, no, you won't. I got your heel. Got it? Don't you say I'll get you. Because you know what happened to those two boys? One day one boy went hunting. He went out there and he went hunting about the time. He went out hunting there and he's hunting the deer and he went up over this hill and down this hill and up this hill and down this hill. And then he come back, famished, boy. By the way, he thought he was going to die. And he smelled a bowl of chili come off of there about 400 yards away he smelled that bowl of chili. He said, man alive, does that smell good? Gets up over the ridge and gets down to the camp down there. And he says, hey, brother, I smell you got the big old bowl of chili going there. Man alive, can I have one? And Jacob says, sure, what do you give me? He says, well, I don't know. I don't have anything to sell you. Ain't got anything to sell you. And Jacob says, yeah, you do. And Esau says, what? What I got? He says, you got your birthright. Sell me your birthright. I'll take it. Esau says, well, I can't eat a bowl of chili. I mean, I can eat a bowl of chili, but can't eat the birthright. Well, what's the birthright? Birthright ain't nothing. What's the birthright? You got it, bud. You got it. Give me the bowl of chili. You got it sold. He sold his birthright for a bowl of chili. For Christians, you got a birthright. You're a Christian. You're saved, born again. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. Don't sell your birthright for a bowl of chili. Now you got it? And that's why God hated him. Because he sold out There are many a Christian went down a rat hole and sold their birthright for a bowl of chili. And they got, you're a child of King if you're saved. You're a child of King. You live for Him. You give Him your heart. You give Him your life. Don't you live for the devil. Don't you sell out cheap. You ought to sell it. Oh, I sold out for a bit of nothing. Sold out so cheap. Don't sell out cheap, man. It's kind of like this. If you're going to rob a store, and you're going to go down to the Circle K and shoot the guy at the Circle K and get 20 bucks? No! Go rob a bank! At least you get a couple of grand or $1 million. You get 20 bucks at the Circle K and you shot the guy. Spent 30 years in prison. If you're going to mess up, do it big. You know what guys do? They sell out for a simple bowl of chili. Amen and amen, brother. They sell out awful cheap. Now, do you know what happens to those two boys? He gets up in time to get his birthright, and he goes in to get that, and he's already sold it for God. And then his brother comes in, and you remember the story. He said, I'm Jacob, and his name was, I'm Esau, and Jacob, and he lied to his dad. How many of us remember it? Say amen. And he got the blessing. And from that point on, what did Esau say? Says, I'll kill you. 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 You know how long that went? I studied that from Genesis to Revelation, and that fellow goes all the way through the Bible. And he's now over there in the land of Israel killing the Jews. He's right there. Somebody in Israel going to die. 10 or 20 Jews are going to die right now because of Esau's hatred. He said in his heart, I'll get you. I'll get you. And it's lasted for 3,000 years. Because he said, I'll get you. He went to his children, and his children, and his children, and his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great. And it's here today. Don't say, I'll get you. Say, I'll forgive and forget. I'll forgive and forget. People, you've got to learn how to say, I forgive you. Now I want you young people to look right at me. You're going to, one of these days, you're going to get married. Lord willing. To somebody. And then you're going to, one of these days, you're going to wake up in the morning and say, I married a human being. I thought she was the apple of my eye, and I just found out I married a human being. And you're going to find out she has faults, and he has faults, and he makes mistakes, and you make mistakes. And you're going to learn how to have to forgive one another. You listening to me? You're going to have to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And if you don't, your marriage won't make it. Say amen. So you got to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I've just been downright stupid. I'm sorry, please forgive me. You with me? Another thing you do not want to say to yourself, write it down. Do not say to yourself, I'll do it my way. Write it down. Don't say to yourself, I'll do it my way. No, no, no. You say this. You've got to answer yourself, Lord, what's your way? You better write it down. You better learn how to talk to yourself. Don't say, I'll do it my way. No, no, no. You don't want your way. You want God's way. God's way is the best way. Your way, you're going to mess up your way. Don't do it your way. I'll tell you, it's like this. I was out one day plowing the parking lot in my church out there in Montana. We have lots of snow. We have lots of snow out there. When it snows in Montana, in October about the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, somewhere in there, it snows, and we'll usually get about that much snow on the ground, and that snow will be there till spring. It'll be there till spring. come into my parking lot, and that snow got packed down by the cars, and that snow didn't melt till spring in Montana. Well, I'm plowing my parking lot constantly with my plow, and I got a plow on the front of my four-wheeler. And I'm plowing, I got it plowed, and I was out there, and I said, now I wonder how fast it'll go. I'll try it out a little bit. I got to try it out and see if I can push it all the way to the side there, all the way to the end. See if I can floor it. Something says, don't do that. I said, I want it my way. Oh, this is too bad. I jerked off that, and that plow come down and hit the ground, and it hit like this, and the plow grabbed over like that, and I shot off there like a bullet. I'm going through the air like that, and I think to myself, I have hammered my four-wheeler, and I'm about to hammer my face. So I tuck in my shoulder like that, and I hit my shoulder right here, and I dislocate my carbuncle bone. Aha! Ooh, man! And I'm sliding on the ice and snowing and sliding back, and I look back, and here comes my four-wheeler right after me, going about bouncing about 6 feet in the air right after me like that. I'm moving, I said, it's going to land on me. And so I took up, I pulled up my feet like this, I pulled my feet up, and that four-wheeler goes right up against my feet on both sides. And I go, whew, thank you, Lord. Whew. I look around, oh, I hope nobody's seen that trick. That was a no-brainer. And my four-wheeler's on the side like this, you know. Not a 10-year-old can do better than that. My four-wheeler's on the side, and it's still running. And I say, man, I hope Louise don't see me. Reach around there and shut it off. And then I take this shoulder, this killer man, I push against it. The thing's marked. Yeah, I push on this side, I pop it back over on the wheels. And I thought, oh, Lord, don't let her see me. She'll kill me. Oh, what am I going to do? I'll go hide in the garage. And I over and hid in the garage for a minute. I hid in the garage. And there she goes. And there goes the car. I said, there, now's my time. I ran it back out there. Oh, I got to get this off before she comes back. And I took off the plow. And I got to stay and started up. And I pulled my truck over there. And I drove it up in the back of the truck. And I went down to the four-wheeler place. And I said, please fix this real fast before my wife comes home. Preacher, we told you not to try and open it up. You opened it up and rolled it, didn't you? Yeah. He said, we thought you were smarter than that. I said, I thought I was too. Now fix it. Please fix it. I went home and went in the house. In the house, took my coat off. I go to take my shirt off. She's standing over there. I go to take my shirt off and I go, she said, you rolled it, didn't you? Can't hide nothing from you. Yeah, I rolled it, yeah. Oh, man, it's killing me. Well, we got to get it fixed, Let's go to the chiropractor. Went down to the chiropractor. Chiropractor pulled a little hammer up there, you know, and hit it. He said, it's back in place. I said, yeah, thank you. Then I paid him some money and went home. And no sooner got home than I felt like this. I said, man, it sure come out of place in a hurry. Man, this thing is killing me. It's out of place. And then I went another week, went back to the chiropractor and says, it's too late to put it back in. Can't put it back in place now. All that gristle's rolled in there and can't put it back in place. So now I go to the other doctor, the one that, not the chiropractor, but the other guy, the guy that's supposed to put it in place, anyway. I went to him, he said, yeah, I can put it in place. It'll cost you $8,000 and we'll put a screw in it. I said, what? He said, yeah, but he said, if you leave it out and just keep working with it and don't shake anybody's hands, you'll be all right. So I'm not supposed to shake anybody's hands. Every time I do, my arm kills me, right? Just like that, just kills me. You say, wait a minute, I want my way. No, you don't want your way. You want God's way. You want God's way. You go God's way and God will bless you. You go your own way and you'll get in trouble. Your own way will kill you. Now I'll prove it to you. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 18, verse 30. Psalm chapter 18, verse 30. Now turn to the verse. Psalms chapter 18 and pick up verse 30. Are you with me? And it says, As for God. Now look at your Bible, Psalms. Everybody you want to turn. Psalms 18. Psalms 18, verse 30. Look it up in your Bible, mark it in your Bible, and take it to heart. Take it to heart. Psalm chapter 18, verse 30 says, as for God, His way is what? There it is. As for God, His way is perfect. Perfect. My way's got something wrong with it. You can guarantee it. My way's going to do something wrong with it. Going to come up, it ain't going to come up good. You want God's way, do it God's way. Take your Bible again, and let's turn to the book of Esther. Don't say, now turn to Esther chapter 6. Don't say, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. You got to answer to yourself, you got to say. You got to answer to yourself, you got to say this. Now, you listening? Are you listening? Don't say, I'm the greatest. Now, I lost the pen to my thingamajobber. Did you see it? There. Oh, thank you. I hate to interrupt myself, but I may need this thing. I got it. Oh, there it is again. Oh, this thing. Yeah, well, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. We're getting back in shape again. Don't say to yourself, I'm the greatest. That answer yourself immediately, that's pride. Nathan, that's pride. And that's what it is, it's pride. When you go and look in their mirror, don't you say, I'm the greatest. When the guy said, I'm the greatest, dance like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He ain't saying I'm the greatest now. You know why I think what happened to him? He shot his mouth off. You listening to me? Don't you say it. I'm the greatest. That's a terrible mistake. Now, what you see in Scripture, Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6, in verse 6. So, Haman came in, and the king said to him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? And Haman says, I'm the greatest. In his heart, he says, ha, ha, ha. I'm the greatest. Look at me. I'm the greatest. Now Haman thought in his heart, there it is, to whom would the king delight to do honor unto me more than myself? And so on and so forth. You know what happened? He built a gallows. You know who hung on the gallows? Haman hung on the gallows. Don't you say, I'm the greatest. Don't say I'm the greatest. That's pride. That's pride. Ask yourself real quick. That's proud. Get out of here. You're supposed to humble yourself. Never ask God to humble you. You're supposed to humble yourself. Every once in a while, brother, we've got to fight pride. Everybody in this building's got to fight pride. You've got to fight pride. You do too. You do too. And you do too. And you do. You wrote a nice book. You have to fight pride. You might get proud about the book you wrote. Amen. Might get proud about being the pastor of the church. Might get proud about building a house if it's a nice house when you're through. We don't know yet. We'll just have to see. Yes, amen. Might get proud. Look at here. Oh, now I'm getting, I preach a good message. Everybody say, man, that's a good message, preacher. That's a good message. One day I was gotten up there and I was preaching away. Man, I was preaching away. I was going, whoo, man, I was saying to myself, this is a great message, man. This is rolling. This is rolling. I looked over at my wife, and we have a signal. If I'm messing up, she goes like this. Slips her glasses back on. And I know that I'm messing up. She's sitting over there and she goes. And she slips them back on. And I say to myself, quit it, I ain't messing up, man. This is going good. Leave me alone, I'm going. It's going good, will you? Leave me alone, will you, woman? And I'm going, man, I'm just a zipping, man. I'm a zipping, boy. I mean, it's gold, boy. Everything just flowing, boy. And then I look over here and she's going. Now, I knew there was something bad, so I go, well, my shirt tail must be hanging out real low. You know, because I'm just a slob anyway, you know, and I figure, well, I just don't look neat. And I go like this, you know, trying to hide it, you know. And I thought, well, no, my tie's good, and my tie's on, and my shirt tail's not out, and my sock's not showing. I mean, I'm all right. My shoes are shining. I'm fine. What is wrong? And I get through, and I go over to her, and I says, what's wrong? She said, your pants are unzipped. Oh, I look like an idiot, boy. I said, okay, Lord, I got it. Okay, Lord, I got it. Yes, we are humble in you, you know. I'm preaching on another time. Good, your message going good, and I'm just rolling. I'm just preaching away. Oh, man, it's going good again. And all of a sudden, I had a cold. And I go, and a great big old blob of snot rolls out. And I go, everybody's looking at me. And I go, oh, where's my handkerchief? Where's my handkerchief? Where's my handkerchief? Where is it at? Where's it at? There's no handkerchief. There's no nothing. What am I going to do? But it's all over, man. It's all over there. You done lost it, boy. You might as well quit, boy. You might as well quit. You ain't going to finish that message. You say the Lord says, I got a way of humbling you. You said, I'm the greatest, and I got something for you, boy. I got something for you. And when you say, I'm the greatest, I'm the prettiest, I'm the best, that's a wrong thing to say. You got to say, Lord, I'm nothing without you. Without him, I can do what? Nothing. 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 Without the Lord Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. Can't do a thing without him. Don't you say I'm the best? Another thing not to say to yourself, don't say to yourself, watch out. Watch this. Watch this. Don't you say, watch this. One day, me and my boys, John and Joel, are outside and we're lifting weights. We're lifting weights. You know, John lifts some weights, and I say, man, that's a lot. Now, my John, he is 30 years old, and he can bench press 300 pounds. Now, that's a lot, boys. That's a lot. And Joel, he bench presses 2-something. So old dad, he's going to get out there and he can say, now, boys, watch this. I get that bench thing and I'm down that bench and I say, now watch this, you guys. Watch this. I push that thing up like that and I get it up out there like that and I hear something go, snap. I flip it over there like that and I get up and something right in the middle of my back, right in the middle of my back, we click. And I'm walking around like this, and then pretty soon I'm walking around like this, and pretty soon I'm going like this. I'm about ready to cry. I go to the doctor, and the doctor says, there's nothing wrong with you. He takes $600 worth of x-rays. He said, there's nothing wrong with you. I wanted to hit that doctor. Nothing wrong? Nothing wrong? I'm in some bad pain. I'm about to die. He says, there's nothing wrong. And I said, Lord, I will never say, watch this again. I'll never say, watch this again. I sleep in the bed and I can't sleep. I can't ride in the car. And the doctor says, I don't recommend the chiropractor.
but go to a chiropractor. I said, chiropractors are all quacks.
I ain't going to the chiropractor, they're all quacks. So I went to him. I mean, if you're in enough pain, you go. So I went to one. Cost me $20. He straightened me out at the first session. Chiropractors are not quacks. No, chiropractors are not quacks. He straightened up my back, and I go to him quite regular now. But I've learned something. Don't say, watch this. Don't say that. That's disastrous. That's stupid. Don't say what this. You're going to get in bad trouble. Something's going to happen, boy. Something's going to happen. Don't say what this. You got to say, I better not do it. I better not do it. Are you with me? All right. Last of all, don't say, nobody sees me. Nobody sees me. I want you young people, look at me. Don't you ever say, nobody sees me. Answer yourself real quick. God sees me. The devil sees me. And I see myself. Now, God sees you, but you can get God's forgiveness real easy. Just ask. Now, the devil's a lot different. He's never going to forgive you, and he's going to keep bringing it up forever. The devil will bring it up the rest of your life. Don't you say, nobody sees me. He won't ever forgive. He'll say, you know what you did such and such and such a place where nobody ever saw you? And then if you do get victory over him by pleading the blood, then you got yourself to forgive. You know the hardest guy to get forgiveness from is not God. He'll forgive you in a heartbeat. He will forgive you. Just ask him just like that. He's in the forgiving business. Now, the devil, he'll remind you forever, but you can get the victory over him with the blood of Jesus. You can plead the blood, and you can put that under the blood, and you can get the victory there, too. You know the hardest guy is to forgive this guy right here. Forgive me for what I did. There's the one that's the hard problem. Ain't it, brother? Ain't it? Don't you ever say, nobody sees me. Devil's got more Christians with that than you can shake a stick at. Lord, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, beholding the good and the evil. The eyes of God are upon you. That he's watching you. We got a great multitude. Got a great multitude of witnesses. Every time I'm in a secret place, in a hidden place, and nobody knows I'm there, God Almighty is right there, and so is a whole multitude of people watching me. I got a lot of people that are watching me and got the faith in me, so I can't say, nobody sees me. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Now, don't you say, I'll get saved at a later date. Don't you say, I'll get saved at a later date. I'll get saved, preacher, one of these days. One of these days, I'll get saved. Just not now. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many here tonight, and you're saved, and you put Jesus off for a while, and put him off for a while, and put him off for a while? Thank you. Is there another? Thank you. There's two of them. Say, I put Jesus off for a while. How many say, I received Jesus Christ the first time that I knew I should have received him, I received him. Thank you. Amen. But there are a lot of people that just put him off. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you know you ought to get saved, and you're going to say, I'll receive Jesus at a later day. Don't you say that. You say, tonight is my night. I'm getting saved tonight. Tonight's my night. And you walk that out, and you trust Jesus Christ, and you say yes to the Lord. Will you? As we come and sing, as the pianist sings this evening, you as a child of God, you got to learn to say the right thing to yourself. Don't you say, I quit. Don't you say, I'm the greatest. Don't you say, poor me. Don't you say, I'll get you. Don't you say,
Watch this. Now, as a saint of God, will you say yes to God this evening and watch the words you say to yourself?